the Fed is going to keep raising rates or keep rates higher than zero, okay, because they discovered that zero interest rate policy doesn't work. And another thing that people don't realize is that zero interest rate policy seemed to create some cosmetic growth, but it created a lot of inequality. And now people are talking about inequality. Who made money? Those people you see out there in restaurants in Miami overpaying for microscopic sushi. You can see it on the plate. So all these people, the people who made money, it created inequality because we had an asset-based inflation. All these years, assets were inflating like crazy. It's like a tumor, I think, is the best explanation, because that's typically what happened to organisms. You're happy with the growth, but it's uncontrolled growth, and then boom. I think the problem is beyond inflation. The problem is the structure of the modern world in which we live. The structure of the modern world is overreactive because we are, the world is getting more efficient because of globalization. So it's more reactive. You sell, say, 100 million year one and 100 million year two. Okay, the prices are going to be stable. But if you sell zero year one and 200 million year two, you're going to have a huge explosion in prices. Because if you don't sell anything, things shrink, and they shrink rapidly. Capacity shrinks rapidly. And then you have burst. So you have good news and bad news. The bad news is that things react very quickly. Look at what happened, how fast that these prices adjusted up after the recovery post COVID. But so the best of bad news, the good news is that all these squeezes resolve in gluts, and this is much faster than in the past. So let me give you an example. 1973, those of you who, I mean, not many were even toddlers then. Anyway, so 1973, there was an oil embargo. So you had a complete change of structure to accommodate higher oil prices. It took till 1981, 2, 3 for oil prices to become soft, and then eventually collapsed, and it destroyed the Soviet Union. Cars used to be, you know, you could have this party in one car, you know, and then they shrank dramatically, but it took a while. Today, the adjustment for Germany took 1 year. Putin played his game on Germany, thinking it was 1973, and look, I am, you know, the Pasha. How long it took? 9 months later, you had a glut of gas, natural gas. So the adjustments are much faster today. So this is why I think that we may have some softening in many, 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 many prices. Maybe not immediately labor, but doesn't solve the problem. We still will have interest rates higher than 2 or 3%, and we have to go back now to the real world. We may have a collapse in many, many prices, but, I mean, I don't want to talk about inflation because it's a naive term. What is inflation if it's the cost of goods and services? Now, how do you weigh them? Okay. You see how what's your inflation may be different than mine. The price of wine has gone down because of so my inflation is, I have deflation for my goods. You may have inflation for your goods, depending on what you're. So I, when I wrote a paper on Bitcoin, when people say, or inflation, I said, it depends on some individuals. It depends on preferences. It is unstable and has other problems like being short volatility because your basket changes all the time. So, but overall, housing is going to be cheaper. Lumber would be cheaper if you're into lumber, right? A lot of stuff would be cheaper. Commodities would be cheaper. But interest rates will not be zero because they can't. And then there's also a problem here. This debt, all this debt floating around, how does it disappear?
How does it disappear?
It disappears with the old-fashioned way, with a company calling up their creditor, telling them, listen, you know, we have to have a conversation. Okay, it's called restructuring. So you're going to have, you have a pressure on, and the company has merchandise. They're going to have to find a buyer, and then they call up people. Some in the room here may be able to buy them. So you're going to have the pressure on some prices.
So, you know, you mentioned a couple here things. The price of some goods will come down, but not all. You've mentioned the idea of wealth inequality being created. So, and you've mentioned the idea that certain equities will come back to reality. So at the end of the day, what is the net effect on the economy?
The process, the net effect, that we're going to have normal markets. The road to get there would be very painful for some. As you know, markets, you know, they have moved and mood swings. I see that. I see people panicking all the time on Bloomberg TV trying to tell you it's all okay, it's all going to be okay. So you're going to have a lot of these people showing up to say, oh, it's all going to be fine, all right? So in other words, things won't be fine for a while. But look at these billionaires. How did they become rich? They become rich from valuation, not from cash flow. You see? So you got rich over that period by funding, third round, now the company is worth $2 billion. It's all paper, for God's sake, it's paper. So that modus is gone. They don't realize what's going on because it takes a while and because they don't have the education. When you spend 15 years in that environment, you don't know finance. So they don't realize what's hitting them. So you have to go to people who are either have gray hair or happen to have a library, or have a grandfather, granduncle, great-grandfather, someone to talk to, because to see what's happening. It is much worse than you think, okay? So all these companies were using the stock market and or private or some round 21 investor, okay, as what? As cash machine. You want cash? No problem. Round whatever. We get cash, or the company now is valued more, okay, and everybody's happy, or was happy. So now you got to make money, no matter how bad it's going to be worse elsewhere, okay? Because, and you can see it, we raise rates, it's bankrupting Egypt, bankrupting all the weaker credit countries. It did harm Europe quite a bit. So I think it's worse elsewhere. It's much worse in Japan. But they know how to handle it because they're Japanese. So they have the structure, the social order, all that. But they have a huge amount of debt in Japan. It's much worse in Europe because they like the good life, you know, and they sort of like they like fables and ideas. So Europe is a lot worse. So it's going to be good to be here rather than be over there.
So the second popular topic then, from real money to digital money. You mentioned crypto once. We generally know how you feel about crypto.
So, I mean, I
just don't even have to ask the question.
In the beginning, I mean, I hated the Fed so much after 2008 that I, like everyone, thought that crypto was a good idea because it was not the Fed. And then I looked at it and said, that's nonsense. So I wrote something called that people call the Bitcoin black paper now, in which I explained that Bitcoin was not a hedge against inflation. People say inflation, hence Bitcoin. That if they raise rates, it would collapse because everyone thought that inflation would come, so you have to have assets. No, if inflation would come, they have something called the Federal Reserve that raises rates. So that would harm assets. So, and then Bitcoin would be harmed as well because it was reacting to liquidity. That Bitcoin, if you're into fraud, I'm sure you're not, but let's say one day you want to be into start doing money laundering or fraud and stuff like that, the last place you want to be is Bitcoin for that, because the transaction is transparent. They say it's decentralized, and nothing more centralized than Bitcoin. Okay.
Isn't that a good thing?
Centralized? It means one mistake in that blockchain, one flaw because the internet is down in Wuhan or something, right? So and then it trickles. One mistake in that system, and Bitcoin goes to zero. So the whole thing about all these claims about Bitcoin seem to be made to feed people even more naive than those who have been working in finance with zero interest rates, namely teenagers who know a lot about computing and are designed to not understand finance. So that's the Bitcoin crowd. I mean, you cannot do, they say, a trustless system. If you don't trust someone, don't do business with him or her. So the whole idea is, I mean, without trust, you can't build anything. So the whole idea of creating a trustless system is say, plus there's other things that it's too mechanistic. And when I was a trader, we would pick Anglo-Saxon countries for disputes because the law was less mechanistic in Hong Kong, Singapore, London, New York. All right. So you don't feel safe with a contract that way. With Bitcoin, with the blockchain, is even more mechanistic. It's unconditional. The thing is done, that's it. You can't reverse. So it doesn't lend itself to transactions. I remember as a trader, we used to have, I don't know, hundreds of errors a week. You cannot make an error on the blockchain. You're done. There is a fundamental problem in finance, which is that people have taken too many classes in finance department of MBA, in finance, you know, of universities. So basically, they have the wrong metrics to value options. They have wrong ways to look at portfolio. They have modern portfolio theory. They have all these things. They don't work. And we've been banking on that, and things aren't changing. They still teach modern portfolio theory. We had the crash of 1987, and the next day they used more of the Gauss distribution than they did before. That doesn't work. So we think that there are swans that are gray that other people think are black. At no point in time have people complained more about racial equality, about discrimination, about gender inequality, all of that. At no point in time have we had more better condition than today. And that's the Tocqueville effect. The more people complain about tyranny, the more democracy you get. And it's a byproduct of complaints. So in the social and political domain, people complain a lot because there's Twitter. And on Twitter, you hear a lot of things. So you say, oh, we live under tyranny and stuff like that. At no point in time in history of mankind have we had more freedom. Government cannot be intrusive. Think of the FBI during J. Edgar Hoover or the McCarthy era. And people weren't complaining as much as today about tyranny. So there's one thing that's going on, that mechanism of complaints is actually helping improve these conditions very fast. I don't think that our liberties are fragile. To the contrary, something we see more and more evidence that the world is improving in that sense. So I know financially it's not good, right? But in the social and political domain, things are a lot better than they were before. We have no idea how to value companies. It's mostly narratives and stories about the future to raise money so you can sell to someone else. I mean, think of the number of people who made a lot of money in venture capital off of companies that ended up making no money. Just someone got stuck with that bill at the end of the meal. So this is what I mean by these crazy valuations. They're not, I mean, you know, when you have negative earnings and high valuations, it has worked for some companies. Some companies managed to have crazy earnings, crazy PE ratios, and then eventually earnings rallied. But the great majority are now in the cemetery of companies. They're gone.